to another message from God's Word. We're studying all the parables in the Bible. Our textbook is, of course, the Bible. And secondarily, all the parables in the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. We're on page 214. And we will read a few verses here. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, in verse number 21. And going away from there, Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman who was a Canaanite of that district came out, and with a loud, troublesome, urgent cry, begged, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is miserably and distressingly and cruelly possessed by a demon." Now, the first thing she said is that she recognized Jesus as the Son of God and the Messiah and the Son of David. So this woman knew something more than what those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes were willing to admit. But he did not answer her a single word. And his disciples, his mathetes, his habitual learners, came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us. She's bothering us. Besides that, she's a dog, a Gentile." And he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now this seems very cruel. But now he heard what she said. "Oh, Lord, Master, King of the universe, Son of David, the rightful heir to the throne of Israel." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came on kneeling and worshiping him. She kept on kneeling and worshiping him. And kept on praying, "Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me." And he answered, "It is not right and proper and becoming or fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." The children's bread. The bread of life that Jesus took. He was the bread of life, the manna that came down out of heaven. She said, "Yes, Lord." Always calling him Lord and Master, Kyrie. "Yet even the little puppies eat the crumbs that fall from their young master's table." Then Jesus answered, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was cured from that very moment. And Jesus went on from there and passed along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into the hills and kept on sitting there. And a great multitude came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the dumb, in other words, those who could not speak, and many others, and they put them down at his feet, and he cured them. All of these were his messianic credentials. So that the crowd was amazed when they saw the dumb speaking, and the maimed whole, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they recognized and praised and thanked and glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have pity on sympathy, and am deeply moved for the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days, and they have nothing at all left to eat. And I am not willing to send them away hungry, lest they faint and become exhausted on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we going to get enough bread sufficient to feed this great crowd in this isolated and deserted place?" And Jesus asked them, "How many loaves of bread do we have?" And they replied, 7 and a few small fish." And ordering the crowd to lay up on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were stuffed. And they all gathered up 7 large provision baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. And those that ate were 4,000 men, not including women and children. Then he dismissed the crowds and got into the boat and went into the district of Magadan. Now the Pharisees and Sadducees came up to Jesus. They asked him to show them a sign, a spectacular miracle from heaven, attesting his divine authority. What in the world had he been doing all the time? And he replied to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red, and there is a gloomy and threatening look. And you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." Then Jesus said, "A wicked and morally corrupt and unfaithful generation craves for a sign. What had he been doing all this time? That Syrophoenician woman over there, she said, 'Lord and Master, Son of David, King of Israel, please have mercy upon me, Lord.' And look at these that he came to. Look at what they say. A wicked and morally defunct and unfaithful generation craves for a sign, but no sign shall be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Then he left them and went away. When the disciples reached the other side of the sea, they found they had forgotten to bring any bread, any food. The word bread there means food. Jesus said to them, "Be careful and on your guard against the leaven and the fermentation of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Leaven is always a type of sin. Beware of the sins of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves about saying, "Is it because we did not bring any bread?" But Jesus, aware of this, "Why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? O men of little faith, little trust you have in me." How little faith you have. The woman, "How great your faith is. Go your way. What you wish will be done for you." And these were his own disciples, his own church. "Do you not yet discern, perceive, and understand? Do you not remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many small hand baskets you gathered? And now the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many large provision baskets you took up? How is it that you fail to understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But beware of the leaven, the ferment of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they discerned that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now let's go here to page 214. We'll try to get through this in this lesson tonight. The Canaanite woman. The damned. The damned here. The damned here. The damned. And the elect stop their ears. Let's look at this. The damned here. All we are concerned about in this cameo is our Lord's parabolic use of the word dogs. Contrary to the instructions given to his disciples not to go into the way of the Gentiles, Jesus is found here taking them into the direction of heathen Tyre. And yet they have not received a commission to go into all the world yet and preach the gospel. But Jesus journeys outside of the Holy Land for a simple deed of mercy. He goes outside of the Holy Land. He went into a house for privacy and rest, Mark 7:24, but both were soon evaded, for he could not be hid. Who could hide the fragrance of a rose? This Gentile woman, beseeching Christ's help for her demon-possessed daughter, is described as a Syrophoenician, Greek or Canaanite woman. Sometime in her life, at least as she was growing up, she had been an idolater. But here, she knows more than what the Pharisees in the last verses they demanded a sign from Jesus, and he had given them signs for 3 years. Now the Phoenicians worshipped Ashtaroth or Diana, which had been a rock, just like the cobblestone, that fell out of the sky. A rock that fell out of the sky. And they worship it, just like the cobblestone in Mecca. Now, this woman, this former idolater maybe, runs upon someone that she knows can answer her prayers. Ashtaroth, Diana, could not answer her prayers. Jesus said that in the Old Testament that they cry, they cut themselves, they bow down, they worship an idol that they make with their own hands. Oh, but this idol here that fell out of heaven was, the Muslims say, the hand of Allah. And the only way they can get forgiveness of sins is march around that cobblestone and lay their hands on it, and it will absorb their sins. Hogwash. Jesus is the only one that can absorb and wear your sins. The Gentiles were known as dogs. And the bread for the children of Israel should not be cast to dogs or Gentiles. But the woman was not deterred by the master's reply. Hope within her was not destroyed. She owned that she and her people were nothing but dogs. Outside of the province and the providence of God, a people with no God in all reality. Outside of the commonwealth of Israel with no claim to the Savior at all. Dogs, however, get scraps, and what she wanted would not impoverish the children of Israel. Not going to impoverish them. While it would enrich herself, she wanted mercy for her afflicted daughter, but no other mercy. She didn't ask anything for herself. It's interesting to note that the uncommon word used only here for dogs, it is in the diminutive form, which means little pup dogs or puppies. Outside the house were the dogs, wild and half wolfish. But in the homes, there were small domestic dogs, pets of the children, who waited around the table for scraps of food. All this desperate woman wanted was a crumb of mercy for her puppy, for her little daughter. Her faith and persistence prevailed. Her faith and persistence prevailed. She received the crumb and more besides, the testimony of the Lord to the greatness of her faith that has come down for 2,000 years to us. 2,000 years, nearly. This woman has been talked about because of her great faith. Even though she was not worthy to even passed by the shadow of the Savior. She fell down and she worshiped him and begged for mercy. If we want mercy, we must fall down at Jesus' feet and beg for mercy. The parable of the weather. Now this was 15:21 through 28, and we even studied about the bread, the multiplication of the bread and fish. Television has helped to educate us in the intricacies of weather forecasting. Over 1,900 years ago, Jesus knew all about this art and employed it to illustrate and illumine his answer to the Pharisees and Sadducees as they tempted him for heavenly signs as to his claims to deity. Jesus is and was deity. The Muslims today say, there is no God but Allah, and he has no companion. This is their confession of faith. There is no God but Allah, and he has no companion, no son. And Muhammad is his messenger. The Jehovah Witnesses claim that Jesus is not God the Son. The Mormons. Herbert Armstrong and Herbert Armstrong's. Garner Ted Armstrong and Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God swear that Jesus is not God the Son. That he never died on the cross of Calvary. The Jehovah Witnesses, even though they say they're Jehovah Witnesses, their Jehovah is Jesus. Jehovah means who shall become. That one who came become, that came and became, and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of this only begotten Son of God, the one who could heal all of these forms of sickness and death. That one is the only one that can save your soul. And the only thing that can save your soul, the only thing that can keep you safe, no matter what tribulations and trials you go through in this life, Jesus is your Savior through all of them. Never worry. Never worry. I see so much temptation and things in my life and fear of murder for my life. So many times, for so long, the betrayal of close friends and companions, to break your heart 1,000 times. But Jesus is always there. I do not deserve him, but he is my Savior. I shall never go to heaven on any of my merits at all. It's only by the blood and grace of Jesus Christ. Evidently, the sign that they had just witnessed in the miraculous feeding of the multitudes was too earthly for them. Wanting something from the skies as confirmation of the divine testimony, they were blind that in Christ who stood before them was heaven's greatest sign. Kaihologos Arxagetato, and the Word became flesh, and the Jehovah became flesh and dwelt among us. No one had seen God at any time but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has let himself out. John 1:18. Reproving his tempters for their ignorance and wickedness, Jesus said they ought to be able to discern the signs of the times as easily as those of the weather. They were responsible to know that Jesus came. They should have known the hour of their visitation, and they would be required of it. They did crucify the Messiah. They did it deliberately with deceit and perjury. And they paid the cost. They've been cast throughout the world. That temple that Jesus said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it. Then he looked over there and said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how many times I would have called you as a mother hen with her baby chickens, but you would not come. The damned heard. The elect refused. Israel, as the elect, refused her Messiah and King. She blinded her own eyes and deafened her own ears. They should have known that God's signs are always simple to read and that the abounding sin was a sign of approaching doom. Quoting from the commonplace speech, Jesus said, when it is evening, oh yes, you say it's fair weather in the morning and foul weather today. Think of the old adage, a red morning is a shepherd's warning and a red night is a shepherd's delight. With great force, Jesus applied his illustration to those who, as they watched the sky, were clever in surface observation, yet were not able to discern the signs of the time. They were not able to discern their visitation. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, they were not able to understand what those books said. And Jesus even quoted Psalm 22 on the cross of Calvary. Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He quoted in Hebrew and Aramaic both. They should have heard. They should have seen. But they stopped their ears and screamed. They were correct in the weather forecasting, but were blind to the meaning of the events crowding and open upon them. They wanted a sign, and Jesus gave them one. Namely, that Jonah, who 3 days and nights in the great fish, dead in the fish, talked of the resurrection, the greatest sign of his authority, as the one co-equal with God. Page 215 at the bottom. The parable of the one leaven. Matthew 16, 6 through 12. Already references have been made to the figure of leaven. Here we have a note that Phariseeism and Sadduceeism is the same essential fault, namely intense earthliness and bigotry. They were one leaven, not two leavens. They were one leaven. The policies of the Pharisees and Sadducees were almost positively, diametrically opposed. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, angels and all that. The Sadducees were basically atheists or agnostics. But both of their whole ideas were based upon materialistic and naturalistic conception of life and not the spiritual conceptions of Jesus. Leaven represents that which is destroys and breaks up and ferments. Working quietly and insidiously and persistently, leaven is here used as a type of the teaching and the sin of the ritualism and the rationalistic teachings. False teachers form the leaven that forever destroys the lives of other individuals. How many men has Muhammad damned to hell? How many women and men has Charles Taze Russell damned to hell? How about Joseph Smith? How about the popes? How about Herbert Armstrong? Garner Ted Armstrong, with her flowing, beautiful speeches and their beautiful photography in their shows on television for many years. Buddha. All of these people have been led astray by the millions. And the blood is on their hands because they have taught the teachings of hell instead of the Word of God. The two aspects of error represented by the Pharisees and the Sadducees sprang from one serious fault: unbelief and intentional blindness and intentional deafness. Jesus healed the real blind and the real deaf. Now, only the Messiah could heal the blind. They knew that. That's a pure messianic and a singular messianic credential. Yet one man that he healed that had been blind for 38 years. They tortured his family, threw him out of the synagogue, threatened them to try to take back. This is not your son. This is not your son. He's my son. How, who healed him and everything, I do not know, but that's my son, and he sees now, but he was blind. Unbelief in their hearts. Unbelief in their thinking. Unbelief in their religion. Demon worship, as they worship the Word of God and the Mishnah and the Talmud and the traditions of their father. Jesus is the only answer to all of man's guilt. Before this message, we talk about guilty souls. We talked about superstitious souls. And here they are again. They're guilty, they're superstitious. But we have the damned. We have the damned. We have the damned. That here, the damned here, the rejected here, those with no God, you who had no God at all, God called into the commonwealth. of his economy and his love? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? What would keep you from believing that Jesus is Savior and that you can lay your sins upon him? What tonight or today or tomorrow or a year from now, what will keep you from believing in Jesus? What will keep you from trusting in him? He gave his life for you. He died for all men. Jesus Christ died for all men's sins. If you go to hell, it won't be because you're going to hell because of sin. Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. If you go to hell, it's because that you didn't believe in the answer, the only begotten Son of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried, and God rose him from the dead, and you believe in your heart in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. For in grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, that is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you there? What keeps you from coming to God? What keeps you from being born again this day? What keeps you from that if you're hearing the Lord's words? Is God convicting your heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come? What's keeping you from being saved? Is it unbelief? Our Heavenly Father, we send these words out today to glorify you. My Savior, my God, I love you. Father, please send your Spirit throughout the world, wherever it may be. I pray for the families of those that are saved, that are lost. I pray for them that you send your Spirit, that you convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I pray for all of those that hear these programs and these words. Father, I pray for them that are lost tonight, that they might come to you. I pray for those that are saved, that they might have faith and strong faith in you to meet all their trials and tribulations in life. We have them. Watch over me, Father. Help me to glorify you with my life. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you for our Savior.